Welcome to a podcast of The Mike Novak Show. You can listen to Mike live Sunday mornings from 9 to 11 Central on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Don't forget that line of holly.
Mulching around the Parkway Tree on the 15th day of June. 120 in the shade, everybody starts to spoon. Mulching around the front yard tree, you can blame it all on Pop. Whenever he looks the other way, everybody tries to stop.
Yelling, oh my golly, don't forget that line of holly. Mulching around the backyard tree
with a wood pile 9 feet high. Shoveling chips on rubber legs, everybody wants to cry. You will get a truly sickly feeling when you hear
his voice yelling, don't get slow now, only 20 trees to go now. Mulching around the neighbor's tree, this has really wrecked the day.
Later we'll pass out on the couch and we'll reach for some Ben Gay.
It's Ben Gay.
The Little Brick Building on North Milwaukee Avenue in Chicago, in between Andy's Deli and Lido Banquets, and just a kielbasa's throw away from the Polish capital of the Western Hemisphere. It's The Mike Novak Show, the country's best deep green gardening and environment program. Heard every week and broadcast from the studios of WCPT, AM and FM, Chicago.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. True currents and thriving seas. Wind blowing through breathing trees. Strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in the main.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is sponsored by Locally Laid Egg Company. Because local chicks are better. Go to locallylaid.com. And by Attack of the Killer Asparagus, the funniest book about gardening you will ever read. Go to aroundtheblockpress.com. I've always wanted to throw a kielbasa. The Lorena Bobbitt kielbasa toss.
Get ready there, Helen. 3, 2, 1. One more time.
Oh, I wasn't ready. Sorry.
You weren't ready?
I did that on purpose.
What are you doing in there?
I'm looking at your picture.
In
your Dickensian garb. I'm not swearing. I'm saying Dickensian.
Dickensian. It has nothing to do with Lorena Bobbitt. Right. Oh, boy. You're about to post something about that, right?
Yep.
That's what you're looking at. That photo came out well. We took a little photo. You got to understand. All right. I got my props here. Hey, Denny, yes. Perfect. You are on top of it, dude. Denny is the man. Denny runs this joint on the weekends. It's like, just get away from him and let him do his job. All right. After the show today, I am running off to a gig. That's why I'm dressed the way I am, which is, as you said, in Dickensian garb. And I know, I don't know if I'm boring people with this stuff, but you got to understand, at the holiday season, in December, end of November, leading into December and all through December, I do a lot of this caroling stuff. And it consumes me. It's what I do. On Friday, I I had two gigs out in, one was in East Dundee and the other was in Inverness in the area. Those folks know where that is. Yesterday, back to East Dundee. Today, out to Carroll Stream, Illinois. I believe we're caroling at the public library out there, if I'm not mistaken. We're going to be there from 1:30 to 4:30. So I'm dressed, ready to go. I don't have to change into anything. I just want to do this. So Helen is posting right now. Now, are you posting it on the Mike Novak Show or on the personal site?
I was about to throw it up on the Facebook.
I know. Which one? I have more than one.
Not your personal. Do you want it on your personal?
No, I'll put it on the...
I thought you wanted it on the show.
We'll put it on the show.
All right, that's what I was going to do.
Okay. All right.
Okay, then.
Okay.
Let's all get really high-pitched about it.
I'm going to turn off your mic. You know I can do that. All right.
He has the power.
I do have the power. and you heard, we got a call. Oh, and by the way, yeah, you know, so I'm caroling, which is why I played the Frozen Robins at the top of the show, and you're going to get a couple more of those in the next couple of weeks. And I remembered my disc. I don't have my bell, though. Denny, I don't have my dinger. I do have this, however. Because, you know, I'm ready for caroling. I have this. I have this. I have this. Anything else? I guess that's enough, isn't it? I have this.
Real butter.
Thank you, Denny. And now we have... you broke the dinger! No.
Are you training here?
Oh my! You know when you're ready for the. All right, I'll have to put the dinger together while we're. I got the frog. Okay, we're all set. We got a little bit of everything here. The dinger, if, you know, when this little thing falls apart, it takes about 30 minutes to try to put the thing back together. So I can't do it right now.
Yeah, do it while you host.
No, yeah. Why not? You come. Well, that's an accidental ding. See, if I go like this. Okay. We'll fix that. Welcome to the show, everybody. Today, I got lots of stuff to talk about. And in the first hour, I hope you'll help me out because I've got Randy Schultz on from Schultz Communication. He's been on the show many times, even going back to when I was at Gargantua Radio down the dial. And, he's working with a group called Home Garden and Homestead, and you can find them at Home Garden and Homestead, spell out and, homegardenandhomestead.com. And we've got some cool holiday gifts for gardeners, and I told Randy, I said, no junk. No junk. I want good stuff. And to that end, you know, we're going to be focusing on gardening there, but if there are people out there who want to call in with what they think is a cool holiday gift that is kind of anti-junk, or it's a really, really practical thing that people should have. You know, I'm totally against junk this year. I'm not taking swag. I'm trying to reduce. Remember the five R's, reduce. Well, refuse, reduce, reuse, recycle, rinse, and repeat. Oh, and rot is in there, too, for composting. So there's a bunch of R's there. But I'll tell you what, I have listeners who wrote to me and said, we want to do some composting in our kitchen. What would be the most efficient composting unit? And I was thinking about that because I just throw mine out in the yard, so I haven't focused too much on that. So for those of you who are in apartments and have looked into this situation and have a great composting unit that works indoors in the kitchen, call me at 773-763-9278 or put it on Facebook, The Mike Novak Show, or tweet it. Mike Now, at Mike Now on Twitter. I'd love to hear that. That's a really practical thing for folks who want to make sure they're not throwing away their organic matter in their kitchens. And this person who's a listener to the show wrote to me and said, hey, you know, which of these should we have? And I'd like to get some good advice on that. And I think that would be really, really cool. I know you're thinking, you're the guy that's supposed to know it. Well, I don't know everything. I mean, even Ron Cowgill asks questions now and then.
Did you just admit you don't know everything on the air? Oh, my God.
On the air, yeah. You know what? Okay, let me tell you something. In a relative sense, I know nothing, okay? I know nothing. That's why I have guests on the show. I want them to tell me what's going on. So that's how we'll start the show. Rick DeMille weather at 9:45, as always. Real interesting article that our buddy Pat Skatch sent us about Buffalo, New York, and that big snow they had there. And Governor Mario Cuomo, who's kind of mad at the media because he just doesn't think they got the word out right. But it turns out they got it out exactly right. He just wasn't paying attention. Or somebody wasn't paying attention. But I'm sure Rick DeMille will defend his brotherhood of meteorologists. We'll talk about that a little bit. At 10:05, Megan Williams, I shouldn't call her Mick Williams, rather. I should just call her Green Diva Megan, or Green Diva Meg, who's with the Green Divas. And I'm becoming part of their, it's not broadcast, but internet radio network. And they are bringing some people, including Bill Curtis, who's heard on this station with Earth Matters. He's going to be part of the deal, and some other great folks. We're going to talk to her about their crowdfunding effort that's going on right now. It's actually they're working through a thing called fan-backed. There's so many different crowdfunding things out there. You know, there's Indiegogo. And there, what's the one we used? And I can't even remember. But so many ways that you can contribute to good organizations and people raise money. It's the new paradigm. It's the new way to do things in the 21st century. Come on, what's the one that we used? Kickstarter. Thank you. That's the original, I guess, and the most famous one. But there are all kinds of them out there now, and they're proliferating every day. So anyway, Green Diva Megan will be here to talk about thegreendivas.com and the GDGD Radio Network, which stands for Green Divas Global Digital Radio Network. You're looking at me like, uh-oh, what's he going to say?
Don't look. GDGD sounds like something your dad says.
I know, it does. I think they do that on purpose. See, they're wacky.
Ooh.
They have a sense of humor. They do actually have.
Like the local blade.
Hey, I think I got it fixed while I was sitting here talking. So, Meg, Green Diva Meg, will be on the second hour. And then we're going to get serious and talk about the TPP, which is trying to find its way it's trying to become agreement. President Barack Obama is really in favor of pushing this Trans-Pacific Partnership into being. And there's a lot of folks, including environmentalists, who don't think it's a very good idea. And I'm kind of confused by the whole thing. And I don't know why the president wants it to go through. And there's a lot of people in his party who don't like the idea. And he wants this thing called Fast Track, which would enable him to get it through Congress, get the agreement passed without Congress. And that's the point of Fast Track. And it's been used at various times in our history, but it's always temporary. I found that out today, and I want to thank Greta, who's in the studio with me today. I have Greta from Loyola University, Greta Patrick. Wait, let's give her a ding. I'll even let you say hi. How you doing?
Hello.
And she did a little research for me found out that, because I was asking about Fast Track, and, you know, Nixon used it, and why can't Barack Obama use it? And I realized when she looked it up that it is a temporary power and very controversial. And the president is trying to get it now to get TPP through. The problem is there's a lot of people who think TPP is a really bad idea for workers, a bad idea for our environment, and on and on. So we will talk in the second hour to Carson Starkey from the Illinois Fair Trade Coalition about that. So that's what happens today. Now, before we break and before we bring in Randy Schultz, a couple of things. I'm very excited. I don't know if you saw this, Helen, but I'm working on the show yesterday, and I get this alert, this Google alert with my name on it. And I think, oh, okay, usually when I get Google alerts with my name in it, it's a mistake and it's some other Mike Novak. But this one was me. And I knew nothing about this. And it's this guy in central Pennsylvania. And his name is George Weigel. And he writes for a publication, Penn Live, which is, I don't want an ad. Don't give me that. It's the Patriot News puts out the website for central Pennsylvania. And he did this list of books, the best new gardening books of 2014, George Weigel. And he starts with about five big-time books that are there and how much he likes them, including, what are they here? The Living Landscape by Rick Dark and Doug Tallamy. Well, Doug Tallamy is a rock star in the horticultural world. I'm not surprised. There's an NIV God's Word for Gardeners Bible. A full new international version of the Bible with devotionals and essays planted throughout that offer insights that gardeners will readily understand. Well, I'm not going to recommend that to anybody, okay? The Urban Gardener by Matt James. He's the host of the British City Gardener series, and he recommends that book. There's the Five Plant Gardens. I think I got this one from somebody. I have to take a look at it. Takes the guesswork out of trying to mix and match the right plants so everything looks together by Nancy J. Andra. And then he writes, a good choice for, oh, no, wait, I'm sorry. He mentions Coffee for Roses, another gardening book by C.L. Fornari. And I may actually talk to C.L. about this on my show. It debunks myths about the garden, which is cool. I always like to debunk myths. And then he writes, five more worthy new 2014 titles to consider. Attack of the Killer Asparagus by Mike Novak. Need a laugh? You'll get a ton of them in this fun read from a Chicago radio host who writes a garden humor column, i.e. Mike's 29-step lawn care program. And he says, I write for Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. And I want to say thank you, because I don't know this guy. He's not one of my friends in the horticultural world. I'm not associated with him on Facebook or Twitter or anything like that. He somehow got a copy of my book, and he recommends it as one of the top gardening books of 2014. How cool is that? So have I mentioned, Helen, that it makes a great holiday gift?
I feel like I've heard that before.
You know, I've told you that
Attack of the Killer Asparagus
makes a great holiday gift, and if you want to order it, go to aroundtheblockpress.com. All right? aroundtheblockpress.com. Actually, in the second hour, we might have an on-air book signing. Don't ask me how that's going to happen. I'll explain it later. Finally, one more thing. And Randy, I appreciate you hanging. I'll be right with you in 2 weeks. Now, every year on this show, I do my 10-minute version of It's a Wonderful Life. And I've brought in Ron Colgill and Dennis Sheeter here from the radio station and other people, Lisa Albrecht and Sarah Batka from my show, and Rob Carthall, who's now an institution for playing Giuseppe Martini. And we usually record it ahead of time, and I play it on the last show before Christmas. This year, Are you ready for this? We are doing it live. We're doing it live right here in the 10 o'clock hour, the 10 minute It's a Wonderful Life. And I've gotten commitments from Ron Cowgill to come in from Mighty House. Robbie will come in from Mighty House as well. Sarah Batka will be back. Rob Carthel, Dennis Sheeter, Carrie Morris, who helps out on Out Chicago after this show. And we're going to cram them all in here. I'm going to hand out scripts. We're going to do the thing live. It's going to be insane. It's going to be crazy. So I hope you will tune in on the 21st of December, which will be the annual broadcast. And Ron Cowgill sent me this email. It was the guy who does the covers of Chicago media, and some station on the south side is saying, for the seventh straight year, we will do our radio version of It's a Wonderful Life. Heck, I've been doing this for 20 years, and it's 10 minutes. And you can get the whole movie in 10 minutes. You don't have to hear the whole 2.5, 3.5, 4.5 hour movie or broadcast anywhere else, except right here on this radio station, The Mike Novak Show. So stick around for that. I hope you're here on the 21st and, you know, baking something, putting something together that morning. And we will surely entertain you that morning. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So let me tell you before we get rolling here, if you've been paying attention lately, you know that I've been getting locally laid eggs. That is
TMI, Mike.
What?
TMI.
I still don't understand what you're saying.
You said you were getting locally laid. I said TMI. What's too much information.
See, I didn't know what TMI is. you don't use acronyms on me. I'm not going to get it.
You got to get with the kids and the texting culture.
I don't even use LOL. I refuse to use LOL, okay? I will not even go down that road. I do not use
I use LLA, literally laughing aloud.
Although literally has the meaning has changed now so that it doesn't mean literally. It means not literally, and it makes me upset. But I don't want to go into that. All right. Here's why I get locally laid eggs. Let me count the ways. They sell their eggs locally, of course. They use solar-powered electric fencing. They create a carton return program with grocery stores. They plant a tree for every delivery. They buy local non-GMO corn in their feed, and the eggs are terrific. What's not to like? For a full list of Chicagoland retailers, visit locallylaid.com. Locally Laid, because local chicks are better.
Is pain keeping you from enjoying gardening? Dr. Bonnie Flaster at River North Wellness Center has gentle and effective techniques to get you out of pain and back to doing what you love. Here are two quick tips. First, remember to stretch. Second, use a timer to make sure you take breaks. Come see her at River North Wellness Center and find more tips at rivernorthwellness.com or call 312-642-7545 to make an appointment with Dr. Flaster and get back to feeling good.
This is Mike Novak. Enjoy local food all winter long at Winter Farmers Markets, hosted by 15 different Chicago faith congregations on select Saturdays and Sundays from November through March. Your purchase of local sustainably produced food helps support regional farmers. The markets are organized by Faith in Place, a nonprofit that inspires people of diverse faiths to care for the earth through connection, education, and advocacy. Go to faithinplace.org and click on Winter Farmers Markets for a schedule and to learn more.
Hi, I'm Mike Wallace with a sensational shortening discovery for better baking and frying. It's Procter & Gamble's Golden Fluffo, the first all-new shortening in 40 years. It's rich. Its color is golden yellow. And what a pie it makes. Richer looking, better tasting, more appetizing. But let's hear what Mrs. Thelma Styra, Indiana State Fair baking champion, had to say about Fluffo.
I love Fluffo. It makes such a golden brown pie.
Oh, man, that's some apple pie.
Well, Mr. Wallace, that's a prettier pie than I ever baked with plain white shortening. And look how flaky it is. This yellow Fluffo is such a short shortening. Makes pie crust so rich.
Like cooking champions, get richer looking, better tasting, more appetizing results in everything you bake or fry. Get Golden Fluffo.
Want to make a positive move in the housing market? Replace your siding and windows. You'll improve your home's look and energy efficiency, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling and energy needs. Siding, windows, solar and wind power, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
It's time to step in the green room.
Life's a garden, dig it. You make it work for you.
And before we get to our featured guest this morning, very quickly, I'm going to go to Richard in Chicago. Richard, you're on the Mike Novak Show. Good morning.
Yes, good morning, everyone. Regarding composting in the kitchen.
Yes.
What I've found that works over the years, I've picked up a ceramic container over the years and a plastic bucket or two with like a charcoal filter on top. But out of all the things that works the best, the freezer works the best for me.
Huh. I've heard
what
this.
Tell
me what you do.
I take old used bags from a loaf of bread, sliced bread that one would buy. I save them and put my weekly scraps into that. And then once a week or so, I throw it into the freezer. It keeps the odor down, and then when spring comes and the soil is workable, then I just take everything out and bury it in the soil.
Now, I got to ask you, do you have a separate freezer from your regular refrigerator?
No, it's part of the refrigerator.
Oh.
And I generate enough for maybe three people, which isn't really a lot.
Yeah, well, one of the things I've discovered at our household is that we run out of space in the freezer. And that's why it makes it difficult to do that. Actually, you know, during the winter, we still, in our household, we continue to throw things in a Tupperware or some sort of sealed container in the kitchen, and then every now and then I toss it into the compost pile in the backyard, and it freezes, and it's going to sit there till the spring. That's not a problem. You know, it comes spring, as you know, the thing will start to decompose. But a lot of people don't have that opportunity, and that's why I was looking for a kitchen kind of composting operation. But that's a good place to start if you have some place to throw it afterward, Richard. I think that's not a bad tip, because especially in the summer, if you want to avoid odors, that's a great place to put it.
Absolutely. And I do have to say there is one good thing about global climate change.
That is,
if it continues, we can garden throughout the winter. So that's the only good part about it.
Oh, boy. Looking forward to that. Richard, thank you so much for calling. You have a great day. And let's go to line one. Randy Schultz. Randy, how are you?
Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. Now, you're in the beautiful sunny climes of what? Albuquerque, right?
Actually, I moved to Santa Fe an hour away. I'm still in New Mexico.
All right, but Santa Fe is even nicer. Santa Fe is a great town.
Yeah, it's a great place. Everybody from Chicago should come out here for Christmas time. It's a fabulous place to spend the holiday season.
Why is that?
It's just very unique and very charming, and Santa Fe is one of those places, if you've never been, but if you've seen pictures, it doesn't look like Chicago or Kansas or any place else. It has its own unique architecture, its own unique culture and style. It's just a fun place to visit.
You know, that's...
And we actually get snow. We get snow up here, so it can be very charming during this time of year.
You know, you're right, because you're up much higher than Albuquerque, and it's not that far away, but the climate is really quite different, isn't it?
Yeah, we're at 7,000 feet. Most people don't realize that a good chunk of New Mexico is mountainous, and it's not like Phoenix, but the low desert. Mm-hmm. We are in the high desert, and we get a real winter.
That's cool. Maybe I will move out there. Who knows? Randy is with his own outfit, Schultz Communication, but you're also part of the Home, Garden, and Homestead outfit. And and as such, things come across your desk. You're always looking for things that are unusual and interesting and useful for, and you do a lot of work for gardeners and gardening outfits. If you go to Schultz Communication, you'll see the different kinds of outfits that Randy works for. But in terms of home garden and homestead, you send me a list of some really interesting stuff. And I want to go over a few of these quickly. We won't get through all of them. But all right, let's start with the stocking stuffer, which is kind of interesting because you started with it. The tape ease rubber grip for a tape measure. See, I'm doing this because I'm hoping Ron Cowgill is listening from Mighty House, the home improvement show on Saturdays on WCPT. Because this little thing seems really simple, and yet, ingenious. Explain how it works, Randy.
Okay. The tape ease rubber grip is one of those things where you see it and you go, man, why didn't I think of that? It's not rocket science,
right,
but it's brilliant. It's a little sort of a clip thing. It clips right on the end, the little end hook of your tape measure, right? Standard 1-inch wide tape measure. And it stays put, and it's bigger than the end hook of your tape measure, plus it's got a little rubber edge to it, which means that one person can now, you know, measure anything without having to hold the end of the tape measure at the other end.
Or have somebody do that.
Anybody who's ever done any kind of do-it-yourself project or, heck, you know, doing a raised bed in your backyard, you know, you got to measure stuff before you cut it, but you can't keep the tape measure on the piece of wood or whatever you're measuring. This little tape-based rubber grip is a brilliant little idea. It solves a problem, and it costs $3.99.
That sounds about my price for something to give to somebody.
Yeah, I mean, it's my price for a stocking stuffer, and it's just a brilliant little device.
You know, it makes you wonder why the folks who make the tape measures don't do that themselves. Why it's so difficult to hold a tape measure at one end. Why don't they add a little doohickey on the end of that? Or maybe some of them do. I don't know.
Well, I tell you, it's only a matter of time before, you know, Stanley or one of those big companies buys this company. So they've got this is a patented little invention, right?
Yeah.
All they got to do is buy the company and then it'll solve that forever. So.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, because, you know, they haven't done that yet, you buy this little add-on, the tape ease rubber grip, and it solves the problem.
And you can go to www.tape-ease.com if you want that. You know, and it would work for me if I used a tape measure more than once a decade.
Well, you're not one of those, you know, hardcore DIY kind of people.
No.
You know, you're a plant person, and you don't have to measure plants in the same way.
We eyeball things. We go, oh, that looks about
absolutely.
That looks like 4 feet. Yeah, that looks about 4 feet. Okay, let's go with that. All right.
The art of gardening.
The science, the art, the magic of gardening. You've got an amaryllis here that is really beautiful, and amaryllis is, of course, a traditional holiday plant. The papilio? Amaryllis?
Papilio.
Okay. I was trying to give it a little flair. Okay. Papilio. Amaryllis. Why is this interesting?
Well, you know, most people know amaryllis as a holiday plant with a 6-inch wide blossom that's usually bright red or white. Sometimes it's edged with a pink or red. But it's a fabulous plant because, you know, as a bulb, basically all the plant energy is stored and all you got to do is water it. So it's a really good gift for anybody, even somebody who's not a gardener. The papilio is different because the blossom is just as big and showy, but it looks a lot more like an orchid in color. It's striped. It's sort of maroon and pale green striped. And it's just a real striking look. It's not a traditional Christmas look, but it's a fabulous bloom, and you know, like all amaryllis plants, it'll flower year after year if you just let it go dormant during the off season.
And if you want something different, now the problem, of course, and I've learned this from growers, Randy, when I talk poinsettias, or as we call them on this show, poinsettias.
Poinsettias,
yes, because, you know, there's that controversy. Is it poinsettia or poinsettia? So I just bypass it, and we call them poinsettias. All right. So if you've got a poinsettia, the people who grow them tell me that they do all these different colors of poinsettias, and ultimately people want the bright red. It's they gravitate to the bright red. Still, there are people who will like the subtlety of the Papilio amaryllis. So that you can get that from JacksonandPerkins.com. That's a place to do that. All right. Let's look at a couple of, I got to get to this one because this one is cool. The bird watcher gift. This seems like a very nifty device. It's something that you can use to automatically take digital photos of birds that visit your feeder or bird bath. Explain how this works.
All right. Well, the most of us who are gardeners also appreciate birds. So, you know, we have bird feeders, and the birds come when they feel like it, and you're not always there to see what kind of birds are visiting your feeder, which is, you know, kind of a waste of bird seed in a way. I mean, I'm sorry, but that's just the way it
is. I think the birds still like it. I think they still appreciate it.
The birds love it, but, you know, I don't get any benefit out of it if they come in stealth mode, you know?
And
I'm not going to sit next to my feeder all day, so.
Right, and we all know that the holidays are about being, you know, selfish, so we need that.
It's all about me.
It's all about you, Randy. Okay, good.
But so the BirdCam Pro is an automatic camera. It's motion activated. Okay, so you set it up near your bird feeder, you point it right at it, and it's going to automatically take a picture of everything that trips the little motion-activated trigger. So you're going to get pictures of every bird that visits, whether you're there to see it or not. I just think that's the coolest thing ever. And then you can, you know, download the pictures via the USB cable or a little SD card, stick them on your computer, you can post them on Facebook, do whatever you want with it, but you've got this really cool high-tech camera that automatically takes great bird pictures.
Yeah, how does it do it?
You get the bragging rights. These are birds that actually came to my backyard. You don't have to tell people, by the way, I didn't see this, but I have a picture to prove that this bird came by.
It says in addition to it's motion sensitive, so it takes the photos when the birds pop in there, which is pretty cool. And it says it also can take digital videos with sound, and it can even do time-lapse videos by taking single photos at specific time intervals. The built-in flash makes it possible to take photos of birds in low light or even capture nighttime visitors, such as raccoons, deer, I imagine squirrels, although squirrels are probably not there at night. Maybe get squirrels during the day raiding your bird feeder.
That's certainly a possibility. Absolutely.
Well, that'd be great. It's like, I want to show my friends all my bird photos, and you get this picture of this squirrel's mug right in the middle of the show.
Yeah, you see the same squirrel over and over again, right?
Yes. It's, you know, I don't know if you consider $200 pricey. Some people might not. But you can find more at wingscapes.com, WINGSCAPES.com. So that's very cool. What about the shiitake mushroom kit?
Yeah, this is my choice for the best exotic gardening gift, because let's face it, you know, let's say you've been gardening for 20 years and you've pretty much grown everything edible, but most people never get around to growing mushrooms. So with this shiitake mushroom growing kit, you can anywhere you've got like a square foot on a counter, on a table, you can grow really cool, edible, delicious mushrooms indoors. So you don't have to worry about it being seasonal. All you got to do is have a room temperature spot, and you can grow mushrooms, and that's something that most of us haven't done.
I bet not.
I'll bet you haven't done it either.
I have not. I like mushrooms in certain dishes and not in others. So I'm a fussy guy when it comes to mushrooms. But this seems really cool too. It's and it's $20. You can't go wrong with the shiitake mushroom kit for $20 from Gourmet Mushrooms at www.gmushrooms.org. So they just shortened gourmet mushrooms to gmushrooms.org. Okay, and now it's Randy's choice for the final one that we're going to talk about this morning. Give me what are these on this list has also gotten your attention?
Well, I mean, sometimes you just don't know what to get for somebody, but you know they're a gardener. So there's nothing wrong with doing a gift certificate, okay?
Yes.
Most companies are very happy to sell you some sort of a gift certificate, and it can be used, you know, much later, right, next springtime.
Exactly.
So I love American Meadows for the variety of wild flowering seeds and plants that they offer. Very much a wildflower company. And you don't normally see that at most stores. So I think that's just a great choice. They sell plants, they sell seeds, they sell gardening accessories. Just one of many companies that you can get a nice gift certificate, and that's always appreciated.
You know, that is a great idea. What's the website for American Meadows?
Why, that would be AmericanMeadows.com.
I'm so glad you didn't make it difficult.
Hey, my job is to make your life easy.
And you're doing it this morning. I appreciate that. You're right about that. If you can get people to purchase native plant seeds, that's what a great place
right.
to start. And so that's another way to go. And, you know, you don't necessarily have to pick Randy's choice. There are some wonderful seed companies out there where you could get a gift certificate and send to your friends. And then come the spring, they will have a chance to grow some wonderful plants that might be beneficial. They might be end up on your kitchen table as food. It's great. The various seed companies out there and various garden centers in the area, like in the Chicago area, if you live around Chicago. I'm always telling folks, visit your local independent garden center, get a gift certificate from there and give it to your friends and get your friends to go there, because if we don't want our garden centers to go the way of bookstores, we need to get people out there, because too many people shop at the big boxes, and you know, we need to break people of that habit. Go back to the
That's great advice, especially, you know, if it's a local person. If you know they have access to the local store, the local small chain of stores, I think that's a great idea to try to keep it local. When you can't, then there's all kinds of great resources online, and I think you and I, Mike, agree on the whole fact of, you know, try to keep it local and native and eco-friendly whenever possible.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Randy, great stuff. If people want more information, there's more on the site. I gave them earlier homegardenandhomestead.com. Is that where you'd like people to go?
That's exactly it. There's all the things we just talked about are on homegardenandhomestead.com, as well as a whole lot more.
All right. Randy, always a pleasure talking to you. You have a great holiday, and we'll talk again soon.
Thanks, Mike. You too.
All right. And enjoy the, you know, someday I got to come down and visit you and take in Christmas in Santa Fe. It sounds like it would be a delightful.
Please do. It's wonderful. I'll show you a good time.
I know you will. Yeah, you've done it here in Chicago before. All right. Take care, Randy. Bye-bye.
All right. Thanks.
In the Green Room.
You dig.
Hi, I'm Peggy, and I have exciting news to share. Natural Awakening, Chicagoland's only monthly magazine dedicated to healthy and green living, is now available throughout Cook and Lake Counties. Natural Awakening features articles about fitness, local food and drink, healthy kids and families, even healthy pets. We also cover gardening and environment, sustainable building, energy conservation, and green living. We include local news and a calendar to help you stay connected. I can guarantee that in each month's issue, you'll discover a new health tip, a tasty recipe, a new business in your neighborhood, or something that makes your life better. Natural Awakenings is free and available throughout the city and suburbs or online at nachicagonorth.com. Call us today at 847-858-3697. That's 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
Captain's log, stardate 42326.1. The Enterprise is under attack by an apparently hostile life form. Mr. Wolf, status report.
Inexplicable, Captain. They appear to be perambulating vegetables. We are being stalked by stalks of asparagus.
That is incorrect, Mr. Wolf. Asparagus officinalis, or killer asparagus, was the subject of a very popular 21st century tome by the brilliant author Mike Novak.
Mike Novak. I'm familiar with his work.
Mike Novak was one of the smartest, funniest people in the horticultural world of the 21st century.
Sound red alert. Shields up. Tell me more, Mr. Data.
He has been variously compared to Mark Twain, Dave Barry, and Edgar Allan Poe.
Edgar Allan Poe, author of my favorite children's stories.
Captain, I am attempting to access a copy of the masterpiece. It seems to be available online at aroundtheblockpress.com.
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 Yes, Mr. Watt.
Yes, Captain. Aroundtheblockpress.com.
How many times can I say it?
I'm spending Hanukkah in Santa Monica, wearing sandals, lighting candles by the sea. I spent Shavuos in East St. Louis, a charming spot, but clearly not the spot for me. Those eastern winters, I can't endure them, so every year I pack my gear and come out here till Purim. Rosh Hashanah I spend in Arizona, and Yom Kippur way down in Mississippi. But in December there's just one place for me. Amid the California flora, I'll be lighting my menorah. Like a baby in his cradle, I'll be playing with my dreidel, spending Hanukkah in Santa Monica by the sea.
That was the Hanukkah song I was telling you about, Helen.
I thought, that's great. I love it.
Tom Lehrer, I thought you might appreciate that. And with that, let's bring in our own meteorologist, Rick DeMaio, who I was wondering
how you were going to weave the Hanukkah metaphor in there somehow.
Well, it's about the weather. It's
Okay. 68 degrees in Santa Monica yesterday. That's nice, right?
There you go. And that's why Tom Lehrer is spending Hanukkah in Santa Monica.
Yeah, but they can have it. I can't be in a warm climate in this during the Christmas season. Although on the 26th of December, I will be flying down to visit my parents in Florida. So it'll be kind of weird. And my parents were down there last year, and it was only because my dad couldn't make it up here. He was having some surgery.
Yeah.
And they thought that it was kind of weird that everybody had Christmas lights on, but yet at the same time, they were mowing their lawn and taking care of the flowers in the garden. It just seemed really strange.
I imagine it does. And I'm kind of with you. You know, we're true. You're an Easterner. I'm a Midwesterner.
Yeah, yeah.
I want cold weather. I do at some point.
And, of course, everybody wants a little bit of snow as well.
Yeah, and remarkably, we've had, here in Chicago, very little of it, although around us, a lot of people have had snow.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like, you look back at the month of November, and we had 15 days of snow during the course of the 30 days. A lot of it was just kind of, blowing around, flurries, things like that. But you look to the north of us, and they had, 5 inches in Milwaukee, 8.5 in Madison. I think we had 3.2 here total for the month, and it ended up being the sixth coldest November on record. And you look back at the fall, and we ended up with, like, I think the 10th or 12th coldest fall. And then now all of a sudden, the pattern has flipped. We've gone back to a mild pattern, and all the snow continues to be out in the Rocky Mountains and also in parts of California. And by the way, Mike, the gentleman that you had on before, Randy, he was talking about these cameras that look at birds. Believe it or not, there's a great website. Matter of fact, I just sent it to you in the last.
Yeah, I saw that pop up here.
Yeah, it's a great site. I mean, the site is actually called, I believe it's Colorado
Webcam.net.
Yeah. But that particular one I send you, there's actually a couple of others. I look at it literally every day.
Do you really?
To watch the bluebirds eat their food. It's great. and it's like, I'm looking at it. Someone passed by my office the other day. They go, "What are you doing?" And I go, "I'm watching bluebirds in Marble, Colorado."
But that's like the Eagle Cam in Decorah, Iowa. I love Eagle Cam.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That, of course, when it was, you know, watching the actual eagles, you know, nest in there, you know, the youngins, I guess you would call them. But someone said, boy, there's a real stress reliever. And then ended up the guy was, like, looking at the camera with me for about probably 30 seconds. He goes, wow, that's kind of mesmerizing, isn't it? I'm like, you're darn right it is. It's not better than watching birds enjoy eating food while it's snowing out. It was kind of cool. So it's a great way of bringing nature into your computer and into your home. And particularly for kids, it's a great learning experience.
And it's a sign that you're getting on in years when you're watching birds.
Yeah, you got to give yourself a time limit, though.
All right. We need to get to a couple of things really quickly. First of all, I want to ask how your confab, your hobnobbing with your fellow meteorologists went last week.
It went really well. We had 35 people at the monthly AMS, that's American Meteorological Society meeting. It was at Lewis University. We talked a lot about, first off, we brought them through the hangar, showed them the airplanes, talked about the programs that we have there. And I set them up by getting them on a computer. This is the first time I've done this. Usually it's just people standing up in front of a room talking and blah, blah, blah. But I actually set up PowerPoints where they became very interactive with what I was teaching them. I guess I couldn't help but teach. But they were clicking on links, and we were looking at, you know, weather in Europe and obviously weather here in the United States and seeing what the students do. And then all of a sudden we noticed this large blob of clouds over the South Pacific, and we're like, holy smoke, that looks like a typhoon. And I hadn't looked at anything down there in probably about 24 hours. And next thing you know, it's the typhoon that's, you know,
oh my goodness.
Typhoon Hagupit, I think they call it.
Yeah.
Or Hagupit. I'm not too sure how they pronounce that. But in any event, it became a Category 5, weakened to a 4, and then obviously hit East Central Philippines yesterday as a Category 3. Thankfully, just to the, I believe it was to the north of where it hit last year. But still, we're talking about this. We're going, okay, this is not right. It's December the 3rd, December the 4th, December the 5th, into this time period, and you have another Category 5 typhoon move through the same area that it hit last year, which was about a month early. It was in the first or second week of November. That was Haiyan. And this is the sixth Category 5 typhoon that has been in that area. And the last time we had a series of strong typhoons of this magnitude back-to-back was the year 2004-2005. And obviously that was when we had all those hurricanes down in, and I don't mean to say typhoons, but hurricanes. That was back in the year before Hurricane Katrina, then obviously the year of Katrina. And someone said, maybe this is a sign of the ocean warmth, you know, really holding on. 1 year is one thing, but you get 2 years back to back. And whether or not that's going to have an impact that could go a third year is still yet to be seen. But it was definitely, one of those climactic little bells that kind of went off in your head.
But the problem here is, and you know it, that in the United States, we didn't have many hurricanes in the Atlantic. And
right.
And we're a very myopic country. If it doesn't happen here, it didn't happen. So the fact that we've had these super typhoons in the Pacific doesn't mean anything to most people. And then you'll get the climate deniers out there because they'll say, well, look, we didn't have any hurricanes here in the Atlantic.
Right.
And
Mike, what was really kind of sad was when I met with my weather class, this is the class, it's just generally one, it's a 100 level class at Lewis, and most of them were freshmen and some sophomores as well. We met on Thursday to go through a review. I started talking about the typhoon. I go, this is very similar to the one that hit last year that did all that devastation and killed 6,000 people, and there's still, I think 3,500 people living in tents. Can you imagine that?
They're
still
living
in tents.
Yeah,
because the recovery in those countries is not like what we have here. And I said, how many people remember that typhoon from last year? Out of the 15 kids in the class, one kid raised their hand.
Yikes.
And I went, you got to be kidding me. This was huge news. And I thought to myself, okay, this is not good. And I said to myself as a teacher, you know what? I have to go back and literally review, you know, some of these major events that happen in these, you know, developing nations over the last not 5 or 10 years, but I may have to go back even longer, just so that the students have, and this was last year, just so that the students have some form of understanding and recollection of what happens, what has happened, and what is still happening from a standpoint of how difficult it is for these countries to recover. And it was one of those moments where I went, geez, this is not good if they don't know about this. I mean, that was an amazing storm that affected a lot of people late in the year. And on top of that, you know, those people are still recovered, and then you have this happen.
And I guess your job then is to teach those students how to pay attention to that kind of stuff, to make them aware. You know,
right.
if you go into the class and say, hey, listen, we're going to look at this the typhoon that's happening right now. You want to know what? Next year they will remember that because they studied it in your course, and maybe they will continue to pay attention to those things.
Yeah, and that's absolutely true. But there's also times when I have students in my weather class, I go, okay, let's talk about politics for 5 minutes. I go, who's taking the poli sci class? And they raise their hand. How many people have learned about this, this, and this? And they go, well, no, because we're studying 1870 France right now. And I'm like, So this is literally a note for all teachers, no matter what you teach, third grade, sixth grade, 10th grade. If something is of news, whether it's science related or obviously if it's affecting people, talk about it, because it's something that the kids really need to know about. So
yeah.
That went well. I thought for a minute you were going to ask me about the fact that I was on stage at the Rialto Square Theater Friday evening doing It's a Wonderful Life with the people from Digity Media.
What?
Yeah. There's a little bit of a note on it in Chicagoland News and Media. I was called in at the last minute to play a cop. I don't normally do that because those are the people in that in that realm. I just do the weather for
You know, I'm doing my 10-minute version of It's a Wonderful Life on the 21st.
Oh, cool. It should be great. Yeah,
it will be great. Nobody tells me nothing around here. Okay. No, I didn't know you were there. No,
well, I didn't know it either until Thursday.
Okay. Well, listen, we don't have time to talk about Mario Cuomo, unfortunately.
No, that's fine. And the thing about it is Cuomo was right that he said that, you know, the forecast should be better, but he was wrong that it said that the forecast didn't happen. The weather was there, so.
I'm sorry, Andrew. I said Mario twice today. I meant Andrew, but then,
that's all right.
Mario, but I don't like Andrew, so there you go.
Yeah, he went off the deep end a little bit. But the bottom line, our weather here, Mike, I talked about it last week, we're in a mild pattern. We're going to stay in a mild pattern. So a little bit of sleet and some freezing rain comes through tonight, no big deal. And then back into the mid to upper 30s tomorrow. And into Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Next week we talk, we could be looking at 50 to 55 degrees around here. So a nice December warm-up coming our way.
Sounds good. Ricky, have a great week. We'll talk next week.
Thanks. Take care, Mike.
All right. Green Diva Meg and the Green Divas Radio Network are next, so stick around for that.
It's eggnog time.
Eggnog time.
Lucerne eggnog time.
Have plenty of Lucerne eggnog ready when the doorbells chime.
Rich cream and egg you fry so nice, all mixed and ready to pour.
Serve Lucerne eggnog to your friends.
Get Lucerne eggnog at your Safeway store.
John.
Hello.
And we want to sing for you this evening one of our all-time favorite holiday classics. Sleigh bells ring.
Thank you.
Are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening. A beautiful sight. We're happy tonight. Walking in a winter wonderland.
Sleigh bells ring, are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening. What do you think I saw?
Welcome to the second hour of the Mike Novak Show, the country's best deep green gardening and environment program, heard every week and broadcast from the studios of WCPT AM and FM in Chicago. This hour of the Mike Novak Show is sponsored by Locally Laid Egg Company, because local chicks are better. Go to locallylaid.com. And by Attack of the Killer Asparagus, the funniest book about gardening you will ever read. Go to aroundtheblockpress.com. Here he is again, Mike Novak.
Another one of my favorite holiday songs. This is Fleming and John doing Winter Wonderland / Misty Mountain Hop. Let's get to our guest. On that note, let's bring in Green Diva Meg. How are you, Green Diva Meg?
Just chuckling. I love, that's like the funkiest, funnest Christmas music I've heard.
I know. I got a few of those around here. I got a few of them.
I do, too. I love that. I've never heard that one, though, so I had to write it down. You said Fleming and John?
Yeah. I don't know how. I bet you can find it on YouTube.
Seriously.
It's probably like, there.
Sitting here by myself chuckling, wondering, gee, I wonder if my mic's live yet, because I'm chuckling over here.
No, it's okay. Don't go screaming at your dog or your kids or, you know, whatever. Wait, we'll catch the end of this. It's kind of funny. I like it. I really love snow.
It's a Led Zeppelin Christmas.
No, we all need a Led Zeppelin Christmas. Let's take the sentimentality out of the holidays, I say.
Yes, that's some fun, man.
Yeah. Hey, Green Diva gal, how are you?
I'm great, Mike. I'm very excited to be on your cool show. I was listening and, you know, I really enjoy your show. I've been listening more, as you probably know.
Uh-huh.
And, is it okay for me to tell your listeners that you're found elsewhere than your beloved CCP?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Go for it. Yeah, well, I'll say, I mean, and I mentioned it earlier, I am now a part. We're actually still in beta, right, officially?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I would call it beta.
Beta.
But it's working.
It is, because if you go to the Green Divas Radio Network, you can find my show there now. From 1 to 3 Central Time,
yeah.
Every day right now. We take the podcast from Sunday show and we replay it during the week. You know, as I've said before, the folks who listen to my podcast regularly are still going to get my podcast, and they can do that. But I'm hoping to introduce the show to a whole new generation of listeners on the Green Divas Radio Network.
Well, we're thrilled because you've got a wonderful message and voice in so many ways. But yeah, it's very exciting to have you on our network.
Well, now you got to tell the folks about the, you know, I've had Green Diva Lynn on the show when we were at the Green Metropolis Fair at Lakeview High School. A couple of months ago, Green Diva Lynn was on, and now I finally have you on the program. And we did this to sort of dovetail with the launch of the GDGT Radio Network, which I probably shouldn't be saying on a Sunday, but there you go. And it stands for Divas Global Digital Radio Network.
There you go. But it's clever because, you know, part of it is that it makes it gender neutral, so it's not necessarily obvious that it's Green Divas, because we have our Divos and we love them.
And I know that you take issue with it. You spell it D-I-V-O. I spell mine D-E-V-O. I'm
Mike,
a Green Divo.
You know, you're a Divo, and you can spell it any way you want.
Are we not green? Are we not Divo?
Are we not green Divos and Divos?
Right.
So,
how did you get to this whole thing started? Tell about the origin of the Green Diva Radio Network, and then we can get into how you're expanding now?
Well, I was born. No. It does go back a bit, though, to the days when I started a magazine in New Jersey. I had been living in the Berkshires up in western Massachusetts with this really cool community of people.
In a log cabin, right?
Well, no, actually, but they were, you know, we were kind of post-hippie types in the mid-80s, and we were experimenting with green living, and we were supporting our organic farmers, and we had a food co-op, and I participated in the first community-supported agriculture in this country up there with Robin Van En and a group of us, and I ate a lot of strange greens, and but you know there were builders. My husband at that time was a builder, and he was working with. Sorry, I'm suddenly hearing echo. Do you hear that?
Yeah, it happens occasionally. How about now?
Okay,
better. Okay,
it's disconcerting. Sorry.
We're in a high tech situation here, so I don't want you hearing echo.
Yeah.
It's a holiday echo, so that's okay though.
Happy. Okay. So he was experimenting with green building with these people. And it was just kind of a fun community. And I brought that back with me when I moved back down to New Jersey. And I thought, oh, and I couldn't find anybody. So my idea was to create sort of a platform to help people find each other that, mm-hmm. that had these similar thoughts. That time we weren't calling it green living or sustainability. It was a little bit like there wasn't a name. You know, we weren't really new age. We weren't really holistic necessarily, although like those concepts may or may not be involved. But it really was what we're doing now and what we call green living or sustainable living.
Mm-hmm.
We just called it conscious living back then.
Ah, and some people still do. They
and
do.
Some people still do. So anyway, I did the magazine, and then, you know, 3 years into that, had to let that go, and then I had a PR and marketing agency and sort of did the corporate thing for a while, and that got really old. So went back to doing the magazine in a new format in 2006, and that's when we really launched it in New York City, and it was the first sustainable living magazine in New York, and we used the term sustainable at that point. Anyway, that's when we started doing the digital radio show just for fun,
mm-hmm.
just because, you know, I always wanted to do radio, and I had the opportunity, and we thought it would support the magazine.
And, of course, you didn't realize that there's no money in radio.
Well, as it turned out, there wasn't any money in magazines at that time in 2008. You know, that was just an extremely difficult business to be pushing uphill.
Well, just so you know, I started Mike Novak LLC and came to WCPT in 2008. All right. Well, this is when I decided I'm going to sell this myself. Oh, boy, what a great idea. Good timing, dude.
Yeah,
well, I know. So and since then, well, I'm still here. You know, what
you
can I tell you?
You're just ahead of your time, man. And people are starting to catch up to us. That's all.
Well, there is some truth to that, yeah. And you can tell that you're catching up, or people catching up to you when there's backlash
yeah.
against these kinds of issues, and people spend money to thwart your message.
Yeah, right.
You know, not that I don't know who's spending money to particularly thwart my message.
Nah.
But if they are, I want them to just send the money to me.
Yeah, right.
And
don't fight it, people. Just send cash.
Just send me the money, right? Send me. Hey, listen, we got a phone call here that I want to take. You cool with that?
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Steve. Steve, you're on the Mike Novak Show. Good morning.
I'm just calling in to talk about some of the protesting that's been going on in the name of, you know, injustice, systematically to racism.
Yeah.
But I want to talk about the importance of the green movement. If you look at every research that's been done in the last 50 years on our climate, it's all telling us one thing, and we're all ignoring these problems. One, because we don't feel like we can do anything. Two, because they're scary. And then we just appoint Jim Imhoff to the head of the lead environment, a guy who wrote a book on climate denial. We should all be outraged that our corporations are systematically running, controlling how our environment is being controlled. And we're in the middle of the sixth extinction, and there's just not enough people that know about these things, that care about these things. And we need to combine an all-around system change and combine it with the protests that are going on now.
You know what, Steve? You couldn't have said it better. You couldn't have said it better. And one of the things, and you know, you say we need people who are outraged. Well, obviously you are. I'm outraged. I know Meg is outraged.
Periodically, yes.
Which is why we're doing this thing. This is why we talk about it. This is why we talk about it on shows that...
Well, exactly, but it's not... like that last hour's video that Tom Hartman had on, my boss showed me that. I'm in permaculture design, and we're all both very aware of the environmental issues at hand.
Yeah.
And that video is scary. It's a doomsday-type scenario with a methane gas in the Arctic, and I showed that to a dozen people, my friends and family. I got very minimal response out of anyone. I mean, we need to show these problems, but there needs to be solutions, and there are solutions, but we need to demand for them. And if we keep buying cheap plastics and non-recyclables, and the fact that hemp can't be growing is should be a crime. There's 60,000 different applications. You guys know the history of hemp. It's not that hard.
Right.
It's a miracle plant.
I talked about it on my show a few weeks ago about the woman who did the documentary on hemp.
I went to a hemp farm out in Colorado recently, and the CBD oil, the aspects, the health aspects that has the medical applications, it's phenomenal. And we've ignored this for so long because there's been a taboo put on it by TV propaganda. We have to call it out what it is. I just read a book on philosophy, and Adorno, Postmodern War era, claimed that the TV was the same fascism, Nazism propaganda as the biggest harm as to moral decay as anything. And we're addicted to TV, and we're addicted to sports. There's more people that watch the NFL than anything. It's like a new religion, and I used to be involved in that world. I used to love sports. But then I had to question what I'm learning from all. I was 20 hours a week I was watching sports, and then one day, it's like, I haven't learned one thing besides the drama. And, I mean, you have to call it what it is. It's keep them fed and entertained is what we've been doing for the last, since the invention of the TV.
Bread and circuses, Steve. Bread and circuses.
People that are aware of these things and care about these things, when you talk to them about other people, they shut off. They don't want to. Like, they can't challenge what they... It's easier to fool somebody than convince them they've been fooled. We got a world full of fools.
You know, Steve, you're not saying anything that I'm disagreeing with. I get as frustrated as you do, and I get frustrated like that every day. If you were at my house, you would hear me yelling at the radio, yelling at the TV. Yelling even when they're not on.
But the point is, I'm doing the same thing. I'm yelling at home. I'm talking to my loved ones, my family. I'm even teaching my 11-year-old kid, and I'm not yelling. You know, if I see a billboard that's a complete, like, for instance, Coke isn't selling a product anymore. They're selling happiness. There's a girl with legs on a billboard and it says open happiness, and that's their ad. Like,
you get it. See,
Steve. Look at the ingredients that Coke puts in their product. That's one of the biggest causes of diabetes, heart disease, and...
Yeah. All right.
The point is, we need a system overall. We need to be knowledgeable of what we're consuming and what company. Vote with your dollars is the basic.
All right. Steve.
Exactly.
Yeah. Go ahead, Meg.
This is exactly why Lynn and I are doing what we're doing, and you're doing what you're doing, Mike. But the Green Divas, the GDGD Radio Network, exists, and for this exact reason, and we call it the Green Radio Revolution.
Yeah, but not many people are listening to the radio as much as TV and
But the point is, their radio station is online. That's the point. I mean, I'm on terrestrial radio right now, and I love doing that. But it reaches a smaller, you know, the people who listen to me in other parts of the country are doing it via the internet, and that's where the future is. And a lot of people have pointed that out on this radio station.
No, that's a good point. But I mean, one of the issues I was trying to get around to the protests in general is I've looked for hours now to try to find protests like online to try to find one where I can just go and say, voice my opinion and be heard in a peaceful way. I mean. If you know anything on Gandhi, you want to do everything as peaceful as possible, you know. But there needs to be a protest app finder, a protest alert site. So if there's a protest going on in your area, you can you can go there. You can, you know, be heard.
Okay, I got something for you.
Okay.
Have you heard of OpenGov Hack Night?
No.
Okay. I want you to look that up right now. In fact, I'm going to put this in so I can give you a website for it, because I've been there. OpenGov Hack Night is in Chicago, and it's people who get together who are passionate, and here it is. Here is the website. It's called, surprisingly, it's opengovhacknight.org. All right? And you go there, and people show up who are building apps for these kinds of issues, and they're social issues generally. Some are the environment, some are education, some are feeding the hungry, whatever. And they meet every Tuesday at 6 p.m., and they've been doing it for a couple of years, and you'd be surprised at the number of people who show up there. I've been there. I'm going back there. I've been in contact with folks. I've had them on my radio show. This is a great place to start. I think your idea about an app for activism, Where to March, is a great idea, and I think there are people in that room who would take advantage of that and run with it.
Well, yeah, I've been going to a couple of meetups with applications and technology, but if no one has that kind of mindset that I do, so...
Well, that's not true. These people do. These people do,
Steve. No, yeah. No, I went to a different one that was more focused on, like, business networking data apps.
No. This is taking public information, whether it's governmental information or other public information.
Perfect. Well, I'll be there for sure.
I think you should do it. Here, Steve, here's what I want you to do. I love your passion. I'm so happy you called the show. I really am.
I've been waiting for a long time. I haven't called in. I've just been yelling at my family members, you know.
Well, don't yell at them. You can yell at me. It's okay. You can yell at me. That's fine. I want you to write to me, and I want to keep in touch with you, and I want to make sure that I can introduce you to various places where you can express your desire to do something and get out and I imagine you want to put your feet on the ground and have your say about what's going on. And I worry about the environment too, because we're in for a nasty 2 years, okay? And maybe
it's our biggest concern. I mean all these other issues are important, the wars, the taxes, the corporations, the economy, but the number one thing has to be the environment. We've been destroying it for too long, and we need to take care of it. There's solutions out there that we can do, and
It's not the number one priority. It's down the list, and that's our problem. It is because if we don't have a planet to live on,
right, when you treat nature right, it'll treat the people right. Like, that's why the natives, the indigenous people, they love the earth. They treated it with like we're all connected, you know. So it's like it. We can't go all the way back there,
but we need to have some sanity. And there ain't a lick of common sense in the Congress. There ain't a lick of common sense.
It doesn't seem that way.
In the Supreme Court. And this is part of our problem. And to some degree, there ain't a lick of common sense in the populace, because they just voted to have put even more conservatives in there who are going to block these reforms.
They scared. Look at all the propaganda. There was ISIS and Ebola all up to the election. I've heard ISIS and Ebola like 5 times since then.
Big surprise. Steve, I got to let you go, but I want to keep in touch with you. And I really, really appreciate your comments. Send me an email and we'll chat.
Yep. I'll send you an email a little bit later today.
All right. Take care, buddy.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Wow.
Bye, Steve.
That was... Sorry, Megan. You got kind of shut
that's
out of there.
All right.
But that's, you know... Don't you wish more people had that passion?
Well, and I think more and more do. And what I wanted to address in his... What I heard was a little bit of almost hopelessness, that we're into doom. And I don't necessarily buy into that. Like, I know that there are some really, really serious issues that we have to look at. But I do believe that there are solutions, and if we just keep, I don't know, see, the whole Green Divas thing is all about sharing solutions.
Yeah.
And not just because I think what he was talking about, how so many people he shared that video with.
I forgot to ask him which video that was. He said Tom Hartman, and I don't, and Tom's got several out there, and I was wondering which one. So Steve, tell me which video you were talking about.
Because I think that people just sort of shut down because they are afraid and overwhelmed. So part of what we try to do with the Green Divas, although You know, we try to use humor and lighten it up a little bit because it's a very heavy, dense material that is a little bit threatening and terrifying.
As a friend of mine once said, you can catch more flies with honey than you can with battery acid.
Yeah, you can kill some with battery acid.
Yeah, I think so. And that battery acid, that's part of our problem. It's like, how do we... I have to tell you, I went online this week trying to find... we've been talking about this on the show now, and Helen knows this. By the way, Helen, say hi to Meg. I want you to get to know each other a little bit here.
Hi, Helen.
I said hi to her already when I screened the call, sir.
Well,
Helen's awesome.
That's true. She is awesome.
And, I know. Thank you.
Wait.
I'll be here all week.
Let me give you this one. Helen's awesome. All right.
I have sound effects too here.
Do you? What do you got?
Well, mine are really lame right now.
Yeah, they really are.
Foley effects.
I got fairy dust, man.
I got the whistles.
I really do.
I got it all here today. I'm preparing for I got a gig after the show, so I have to have all this stuff with me. And that's kind of our deal is we try to do it with humor. We're having fun, and yet at the same time, when a guy like Steve calls and yells about how people aren't paying attention, he's right.
Yeah,
he's right.
No,
we're not paying attention. It's gonna. And I've had the Guy McPherson on my show from University of Arizona, who's basically said, we're already in the end days, so to speak.
The screwed zone, yeah.
Yeah, the screwed zone. That's a good way of putting it. The screwed zone.
I just made that up.
You just made that up. I like it.
I did. Yeah.
All right. We'll give you a ding for that.
Yay.
But you know, getting back to issues that seem unsolvable and what makes you tear your hair out. This week, I decided to go online because we've been talking on the show for the last few weeks about batteries. I'm talking about home-use batteries. And as we get to the holidays, a lot of people are going to be using those batteries. And it started, we had this on the show and about recycling batteries. And, you know, most states tell you, the only state that tells you that you cannot just throw away alkaline batteries, one-use batteries, is California.
California
says, nope, we're going to make you recycle them. Now, you go online and try to find out where you can actually recycle batteries. It ain't easy because there's no I went to Earth 911 and I looked it up, and there's a bunch of Walgreens in there for my area. And the only way I'm going to know if any of those recycle alkaline batteries is to call each one in turn. And then some of them will say, oh, yeah. And some of them will say, what?
Yeah. I don't know. What is that?
I went to Walgreens. I shouldn't name the name, but I did. I went to a Walgreens because I was looking for some rechargeable batteries the other week.
Yeah.
Kathleen says, you can't go to our Walgreens because they don't have any. I said, what do you mean? She said, I went in there the other day and they told me that there are no rechargeable batteries. And I said, that's insane. That can't possibly be the case. So I go to the Walgreens because I called them. So I called them and I said, do you have rechargeable batteries? Oh, yeah, we got rechargeable batteries. Okay, I come in. So I come in and I'm looking around and I can't find them. And I'm going, you know, I got all this big, big display because, you know, by the counter, you got the display, the batteries.
The million battery display.
Billion battery display. And none of them are rechargeable. So I finally pull over a clerk and say, what? And where are they? And he goes, oh, there they are. And he points to this tiny, tiny little area where there were like four packages of recyclable batteries. And I just thought, this is wrong. This is wrong. And this is an example of what's wrong with what we're doing and how we're doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. I could rant. I could totally rant.
Well, I just ranted, so I took care of that one. Have you got another rant you want to do? By the way, that's a Green Diva Meg from the Green Divas Radio Network. We need to plug that, of course.
Well, you know, what I wanted to say is, I mean, there are so many important issues, and the Green Divas Radio Show has its own style, but that's why we want to hear from some of these other folks. So, you know, there really aren't that many green environmental, whatever you want to call it, shows out there.
No.
If you noticed?
No. I have noticed.
We went to Mike because we wanted the best shows, and so far you know, the response from the other shows out there, like Mrs. Green's World, Yale Climate Connections, Earth Matters with Bill Curtis, and we've got Mariel Hemingway's Running with Nature coming up.
Yeah, you, do I get to meet Mariel Hemingway?
Well, I'm sure at some point it'll all come together, Mike. We're going to work it all out.
I've already met Bill Curtis several times. He's been on the show. I don't know if you noticed this, but he's the guy who pronounces the word environment as environment.
The best voice, though. Come on.
I hate him for it.
He's Bill Curtis.
I'm Bill Curtis.
I love him.
Yeah.
It's very exciting.
See,
I'm
glad that he's on there. So is it is there a long form of Earth Matters, or is it just the 60 seconds that he does here on WCPT?
It's the 90-second bit.
90?
I think.
Okay.
You're 90 or whatever.
Yeah. I thought it was 60, but it might be 90. It could be.
They might have, yeah, I don't remember. Yeah, and they're not loaded in yet, but they will be very soon. We talked to them this week. But, here's that echo. Echo.
Yeah,
echo.
You know, every time I turn off the mic here, to cough or something, you get the echo. Well, that's
gotcha.
Good. Now we figured out the problem.
Now we know what the problem is. Anyway, so what we feel like is that we want to create this platform as an amplifier for all of you. Because we really love all these different voices and all these different ideas, and some of it's about hard environmental news like Yale Climate Connections, and some of it is more about healthy natural living like Mariel Hemingway's show. So
it sounds like I might want to get Yale Climate Connections on my program.
Oh, yeah, you probably would like that.
Yeah. It sounds
that's
like
another. I think that's 90 seconds. Also, it's
oh, is
short.
It? Oh, so it's yeah. so they're short because yeah. you know your Green Divas radio program is long form like mine. You're
yep.
You go
yep.
for is it generally an hour?
Yes, 1 hour.
and then
we have the shorter segments that we've developed their own sort of shows as well, where we gang up a bunch of foodie files or something.
And as I told you, you need to have Mighty House. On there.
Yes, I know.
Because they're a very green home improvement show. And so we're going to connect. I'm going to connect you to Ron Cowgill.
Yes, Ron, we're looking forward to connecting because you mentioned it and it's definitely on our list. And we're just a little overwhelmed, Green Divas, which is why, if I may mention, our crowdfunding campaign to help really launch this network properly, because Lynn and I just can't possibly manage all of this on our own. And we need like a team of geeks to get this platform really humming and a couple designers and a little bit of promotion. You know, we need a little bit of help.
Totally get it. I'm overwhelmed 24/7.
Yeah. and it's good news though, because people are hearing us now, Mike.
Well, they're hearing that you're there and I should let folks know that if they go to my website, mikenovak.net, go to this week's show, scroll down to where the headline says how to support the Green Divas and the Green Devo.
Yeah.
You can click on it, the fundraising effort at FanBacked, which is what you guys, that's the platform you guys.
Actually, if I can mention the URL, it's ridiculously easy, but I do want them to go to your website, of course. But our URL is fundgdgd.com.
Oh, okay.
I know. Isn't that like ridiculously simple?
It is. Did you send me that? Because I missed it somewhere along the way.
I probably didn't, and I will get it to you.
Okay. fundgdgd.com. All right. Or you can go to my website because the link is there. We got another phone call here. Let's before I let you go, let's bring in Doug because Doug wants to address the battery problem. Good morning, Doug. You're on the Mike Novak Show.
Yeah, hi, Mike. How are you doing today?
Okay. Not bad so far.
Yeah, that's good. You were talking a bit ago about the alkaline batteries and recycling programs. I live in Glen Ellen and in... hello?
I'm sorry?
Oh, and the Batteries Plus, they actually will take in alkaline batteries. And they charge $1 per pound on the alkaline batteries, but they will recycle those. That you would probably have to check each Batteries Plus. But
yeah, I've heard of Batteries Plus, and I am aware of them. And you're right, they do charge, but at least somebody is taking care of that, because otherwise, They go to the landfill. And what did I see that somewhere, I don't know how many batteries. See if you can find this, Helen or Greta. How many batteries in the United States are used each year? I'd really like that number because I know it's in the billions. And I think it's upward. I think California alone uses 20 billion batteries per year. And if you tell me, so folks, and part of the problem is, Doug, that people tell you, and I'm glad Batteries Plus is doing this, but when these states tell you that, don't worry, you can just put it in with your trash. Well, there are people out there trying not to create trash.
Yeah, yeah.
So when you tell people, oh, just put it in with your trash, you're thinking like it's 1950, all right? And already I'm not on your team. I'm gone. I've moved forward. I'm trying not to create trash. So don't tell me it goes in the trash and everything will be just fine.
Yeah. And for those who'd like to do research on recycling, I spent a summer in Antarctica during the 2005-2006 season. And if you really want to know a good, detailed recycling program, the Polar Research through the National Science Foundation, they have an excellent way to do, separate your recyclables and the different categories. So,
Doug, do me a favor. Send me a link for that, if you would, please. I want to take a look at it.
Sure, we'll do.
And maybe I'll have you do a report on it since you were down there.
Yeah. It's actually, they do... you're separating your batteries, your different plastics, your papers, your food so that you can, and instead of having one giant garbage can, you would have seven smaller bins. Uh-huh. And, you're basically taking up the same area, but then you are actually, recycling because part of the, Polar Research Program is that everything that goes to Antarctica needs to come out of Antarctica.
Of course. Exactly. It's like the Boy Scouts, I guess.
Yeah.
Doug, send me that information. I'd really like to take a look at it. And I appreciate the tip on Batteries Plus. If people want more information about Batteries Plus, they can just go to batteriesplus.com. And I appreciate that. I had seen that before, and I had forgotten about it. But it's one place you can go if you're willing to pay a small fee to have your batteries recycled. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people out there who are going to say, well, I'm not going to pay anything to have it recycled. I should be able to just throw it away. Okay, I'm going into my dumb guy voice again. Okay. Doug, thanks a lot.
For the alkaline, for like lithium ions, nickel metal hydrates, and that, they do not charge for those.
Yeah, because those are the recyclables. And those really do need to be recycled as much as possible because some of them have toxic chemicals in them. So that's the other thing we're dealing with. Doug, I appreciate the phone call. You have a great Sunday.
Yes, you too.
Bye-bye. And Megan, I got to let you go. So give us that website one more time.
FundGDGD.com. And that's FUND, although it is fun, it's FUNDGDGD.com.
Fund.
And there are. And by the way, we're not just looking for donations. There's a lot of really cool rewards.
Yeah. That's I just got this. I don't know if you know Annie Haven out in California. Hey, Annie, how are you? She tweeted, oh, Mike, it's because everyone was told back in the day the USDA, the EPA were going to watch out for us so we could just enjoy life.
Yeah.
Hashtag wrong.
That never happened.
Yeah, never happened. And of course, the the EPA is taking over the country, and it's going to, come into our bedrooms and our houses and take over our lives. It's like, I rail here about how ineffective the EPA is, and of course the right wing is saying, oh, they're going to take over the world. So
yeah, right.
There you go.
Oh, please.
All right.
I just want to remind people to check out your show on the Green Divas Network. You upload the new one every week on Wednesday from, I guess, 1 to 3
Central
time.
Yep. Or 2 to 4 Eastern.
And so, that's GDGDradio.com. Pretty simple stuff.
GDGDradio.com. Green Diva, Meg, you will be back on the show. We'll talk again soon. You have a great Sunday, okay?
Thank you so much. It was a blast.
All right.
Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. There she goes, the Green Diva, and I hope you take advantage of it. Now, we'll get to Carson Starkey in just a second. Sometimes the best holiday gifts are the ones staring you right in the face. I'm talking about you, my loyal listener, staring at me. Well, no, that would be painful. I'm talking about you staring at your radio or audio device. Actually, that sounds a little geeky and weird. What I'm really talking about is the idea that Chicagoland Gardening Magazine would make a terrific gift for a lot of your friends, perhaps even yourself this year. Excuse me. It has great articles that teach you about every aspect of gardening, great photos that show you as much as tell you how to get things done in your yard, columns like the Q&A, Ask the Garden Pros, regional reports for areas as far-flung as the wilds of Wisconsin, Indiana, and even Michigan, the best darn gardening event calendar in the area, lists of great garden centers, botanical gardens, arboreta, and more, and even my column on the Inside Back Page. Yeah, that last bit of information was a downer, wasn't it? Chicagoland Gardening Magazine, get a subscription or give one this holiday season for a friend or even a relative. Go to chicagolandgardening.com or call 888-265-3600, 888-265-3600.
Allergies acting up, trouble breathing, headaches, sinus pressure, you're tired, congested. Isn't it time to feel better? Breathe deeply and easily. Get rid of the symptoms that complicate your life. Dr. Bonnie Flaster is an acupuncturist and chiropractor who helps people get rid of allergies without using drugs, shots, or needles. Call Dr. Flaster at River North Wellness Center, 312-642-7545, or go to rivernorthwellness.com to find out how to get your body feeling better so you can enjoy life again.
This is Mike Novak. Enjoy local food all winter long at Winter Farmers Markets, hosted by 15 different Chicago faith congregations on select Saturdays and Sundays from November through March. Your purchase of local sustainably produced food helps support regional farmers. The markets are organized by Faith in Place, a nonprofit that inspires people of diverse faiths to care for the earth through connection, education, and advocacy. Go to faithinplace.org and click on Winter Farmers Markets for a schedule and to learn more.
Spending more time at home these days? Give yourself some room. Renovate your basement or attic. You'll increase your living space and your home's resale value, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling needs, including additions, renovations, and other home improvements. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Christmas time is here, by golly, disapproval would be folly. Deck the halls with hunks of holly, fill a cup and don't say when.
I played that last week. Thought I'd play it again. Welcome back to the Mike Novak Show. All right, we'll take one quick call before we get to Carson. Mark, you had a comment about batteries?
Yes, I did. I was, where I work at, they have a program that's mandated for battery recycling. I would think people would be able to bring their personal batteries in and allow the companies would take them that way.
Wait, now you say your company does and you wish other companies did that? Is that the point?
Well, I would think that other companies would have to, because it's by law. You can't just throw them in, you know, certain batteries in the trash. So the company is going to try to control that within themselves.
Well, the problem
dispose of batteries properly.
The problem is you can throw alkaline batteries away. You can throw them in the trash. Not rechargeables, right. You're not supposed to do that. So most of those companies are dealing with recycling rechargeables, which is noble. I appreciate it. I'm looking at the billions and billions and billions of batteries that are produced that are single use, which I do not understand. You know, and we need to find a way to get those comprehensively recycled in the country. But I appreciate the phone call, Mark. Thanks a lot. Okay. For that. I'm glad you're. What company is it that does this for you?
Holland Company. It's a company I work for. They're in the railroad industry on the south side of Chicago.
Well, good for them. Good for them.
In the green.
So. I appreciate that. All right. Have a great Sunday, Mark.
You too.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Let's go to line three, Carson Starkey. Carson, how are you this morning?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, Mike.
He's the field director for the Illinois Fair Trade Coalition. I mentioned earlier in the show that we're in the lame duck session of Congress, And there's possibility, it looks like things are starting to move and something might happen regarding the TPP or Trans-Pacific Partnership. It's an agreement with 11, United States and 11 other countries throughout the Asia-Pacific region. It includes Australia, Brunei, Jerusalem, Canada, Chile, Japan, Malaysia, Mexico, New Zealand, Peru, Singapore, and Vietnam. A lot of people think this is going to be a repeat of NAFTA or a NAFTA on steroids. And I assume that the Illinois Fair Trade Commission is among them, right, Carson?
We agree with that position, yes. So it is a legitimate concern that after the 20 years of NAFTA, lots of job losses, anywhere from 700,000 to a million, depending on which source you consult, along with all kinds of awkward and embarrassing investor state dispute resolution mechanism incidents, which we can get to later, that a lot of other countries, particularly developed countries, developed democracies, are starting to rethink whether these free trade agreements are good ideas. Recently, it was France came out and said, you know, any free trade agreement that has an investor state dispute resolution mechanism, we won't sign on to that. So there's a lot of rethinking going on, and particularly for listeners for your show. The environmental angle is very serious. A lot of people are very concerned about food safety, about the environmental regulations, about the incentivizing of extractive resources, extractive industries like fracking and more gas and oil production that will inevitably increase global warming. So it's a legitimate fear to say that it is going to be just as bad or worse than NAFTA.
Well, the way I see it, maybe you can tell me if I'm right, that it seems that the problem in terms of the environmental area of this deal is that so much power is turned over to the multinationals that the environment will become nothing more than an afterthought, that it's all around the money to be made, and that the reason this is bad for the environment is that the multinationals do not have a good track record in terms of the environment. Would you agree with that?
I do. And what we're left with, as the summary statement, is self-regulation, right? We're going to have another public policy that offers self-regulation for corporations and self-regulation for really the worst offenders and the people who have done everything in their power to create basically what Neil deGrasse Tyson refers to as the doubt industry, right? The people who told us 60, 70 years ago that lead gasoline was perfectly safe and told us that cigarettes were perfectly safe and didn't cause cancer are the same people who are now telling us that we have nothing to worry about with global warming. And consequently, those same people are at the negotiating tables for the Trans-Pacific Partnership, usually corporate lawyers, saying that, you know, it's fine. We'll make sure everything runs smoothly. Just sign these agreements. The American public can sign on to these agreements, and we'll take care of the rest. Well, inevitably, that means that companies like ExxonMobil will find more ways to export natural gas and to export oil. More recently, right, America has become a net exporter of oil, which is crazy when you think about it, is that we're trying to compete with OPEC countries in terms of the amount of fossil fuels that we can get into the market, which is obviously not good for the environment. So it's very dangerous to say that we have anything that we really can't trust the people who are telling us that it's a good idea to have this treaty because they've done so much damage before and they've lied to us on so many occasions.
And the same thing is with that would happen to the environment, obviously, would happen to workers and workers' rights, or at least it seems that that's what your side is arguing, which is that you're also not going to, it's not necessarily a race to the top for workers of the world.
No, it's not. It's a race to the bottom. So what I often start every conversation with, whether it's a member of Congress or just an activist or anyone else who wants to know, is that we should all be working from the same set of facts. And right now, it doesn't seem like we're all working from the same set of facts. If you were to ask somebody from the National Association of Manufacturers or from the Chamber of Commerce, you know, has NAFTA, have free trade agreements been good for us up to this point in terms of the average working American? And they would say yes. They would look at you. First, they would stare at you for a few seconds because they would be confused that you're questioning the wisdom of free trade, because that's what they read in the Wall Street Journal or the New York Times or the Washington Post. And then they would say, well, obviously it's been good for everybody. Exports are up. And then they would conclude their sentence and walk away. But of course, it's not about the number of exports that we have. It's not about the number of it's not about the dollar amount that some corporation makes for their net profit. It's about the net balance of trade, right? The total exports versus the total imports that we have in the United States. And on that basis, NAFTA and other free trade agreements have been disastrous. The average worker's wages have been stagnant since the 1970s. On top of all the environmental damage that we face, the average American worker would lose. Right, you're competing for wages in slave labor societies like Vietnam and Malaysia and China and Mexico. That's going to hurt your wage here in the United States. So it's very much a race to the bottom to find the lowest possible source of labor and to exploit it with very few environmental regulations and very few labor regulations.
And yet, I know that the progressive media have been all over this, and for a while have been hammering this. You'll hear about it on this radio station, Tom Hartman and Norman Goldman and other people. But I would think, Carson, that the average American has no clue as to what's coming down the pipeline right now.
I agree. I've made this joke before, and I still think it's legitimate, but if you were to ask the average citizen what they think the Trans-Pacific Partnership constitutes, they would probably say it's like a World Series, a Little League World Series event played between the United States and another Asian-Pacific Rim country. They really don't know. That's our that's our biggest hurdle, is getting the word out. And not to put too fine a point on it, but in situations like this, whether it's on this radio show or other programs or, you know, wherever you go across progressive media, you'll notice that the metaphorical chair across the table is empty. You don't find anybody from the U.S. Trade Representative's office, Michael Froman or anybody else. You don't find somebody from the National Association of Manufacturers or the Chamber of Commerce arguing with any real effort that we should have another free trade agreement. You don't see elected representatives, you don't see elected officials saying we should have this. And they don't do that because they know that it's laughable. That if you were to go into a town hall meeting with a group of voters and say, are you in favor of NAFTA? You know, show of hands, are you in favor of NAFTA and the outcomes that it's produced over the past 20 years? The vast majority of Americans would say no. And so if you had an elected official saying that we should have another one, that elected official would be laughed out of a room. That's why we're in the dark. That's why it's, you know, so hard to get the word out, because the people in charge don't want you to know. And to summarize, Liz Warren, if the American public finds out about policy details of this free trade agreement that they don't like, maybe that means we shouldn't have this free trade agreement.
Yeah, the lack of transparency on this is stunning. It's absolutely stunning. The comparison I would draw is to earlier this year, last month, when the JCAR committee in Illinois was debating the fracking rules, and it seemed like the industry was at the table, but not the environmental community, not average citizens. And then they released these rules, which were secret. They said, well, you'll see them when we get them in print, except that the industry was already rejoicing, and people were scratching their heads going, wait a second. How do they know about that and the rest of us don't? Well, so much for transparency in Illinois. Now, the same thing in our federal government. Here we got Barack Obama. And for the life of me, you know, Barack Obama has been criticized for not making a case for his triumphs in Washington and in the country, like the Affordable Care Act. And I agree with that. You know, he really hasn't made the case for it. Of course, he's had the media of certain segment of media working against him as much as possible. But he also hasn't made the case for the TPP. He just keeps saying this is a good idea. What are you hearing from the White House? Well, how do they justify it? Because the latest, and I've got this on my website, MikeNovak.net. If you go to this week's show, you can read the article. He's almost defiant. Like, he's going to take on the Democrats as well and get this thing ramrodded through. So even if it doesn't happen in the lame duck session, perhaps it's going to happen with the new Congress. What do you hear is the government's reason for wanting to have this?
Well, to go back and to start
sort of hit back on what I said a moment ago. You have to keep the context of what we're facing, the context of where we are in the nation with the two parties, in terms of what's considered bipartisan. Right? There are certain elements of public policy that are bipartisan. For example, it's very much a bipartisan position in the area of free trade that we should have more free trade. We just have to have it. If you read the New York Times, the so-called liberal New York Times, the so-called liberal Washington Post, but then if you were to put them side by side with the Wall Street Journal or The Economist, for example, you would find a lot of bipartisan agreement, ideological bipartisanship agreement, that we should have free trade and that it's going to work out no matter what and that we'll all do better. And that particular ideology has become a mainstay of the Democratic Party's donor class. Investment bankers and trial lawyers and people who work for multinational corporations who donate money to the Democratic Party have said to other elected officials, Democrats, that we should have more free trade agreements. It's just a matter of conventional wisdom. As surely as the sun rises in the east and sets in the west, we should have more free trade.
Well,
and they never stopped to think about it. The article you're referring to in the Washington Post was that Barack Obama went to the business roundtable, again, a very obscure, very tiny group of millionaires, very, very secluded group of millionaires, very much divorced from the average concerns of working Americans, and said this. Well, unless you specifically looked for it, unless you specifically tried to find out what happened there, you weren't going to, right? The average person has no way to find. Like, again, fracking rules, Illinois fracking rules, let's bring up a very good point. Unless you looked for State Senator Harmon from near Oak Park and you found out what was going on there, unless you actually looked to find out what was going on, you weren't going to know about it on your daily news.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like you said, we're very much not included at the table. We very much do not have a seat at the table, because millionaires would rather that we not.
Well, if you're listening to the show and you want more information, go to Illinois Fair Trade Coalition. That's iltrade.org, and you can read up on this. You should be concerned. And when you hear President Barack Obama saying he wants fast track, that's a whole nother matter. He wants the special powers to just bypass Congress. What a dangerous idea that is, and I don't have time for you to discuss that, Carson. We may do it on a future show, as long as this remains an issue. Fast track is a terrible idea, and the TPT sounds like a bad deal. Good luck on this, and I want people to go to iltrade.org for more information. Carson, I will talk to you again, I hope, very soon.
Always a joy. Thanks for having me, Mike.
All right, take care.
Hi, I'm Peggy, and I've got great news about Natural Awakenings Chicago. We're now available throughout the city and suburbs, from Lake County to the Indiana state line. So if your sustainable business is anywhere in Lake or Cook County, we want you to be part of our magazine. Each month, more people turn to Natural Awakenings than any other magazine to help lead happier, healthier, and greener lives. If you own a green business or offer healthy living or wellness products and services, you should be working with our marketing team to get your message out to our targeted audience. Natural Awakenings is distributed in more than 1,000 Chicagoland locations, and our readers are looking for products and services just like yours. Join us, won't you? We're online at nachicagonorth.com. Call us today at 847-858-3697. That's 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings. Feel good. Live simply. Laugh more.
And at this point, I would normally play a commercial for Attack of the Killer Asparagus, but I instead have a couple of very special guests here. In 2 seconds, I'll tell you about them. First, I want to let you know that I got an email from Ernie. He says Lake County, Illinois residents, not organizations, but residents, can recycle batteries and other electronics at several permanent drop-off sites and other special collection events. Check swalco.org and click on electronics link. So swalco.org, and I got another email from Dan Obermeyer, who said he was glad he was able to listen because he'd been racking his brain for a holiday gift to give to dear friends, and he's going to get a gift certificate for native plants at a local nursery. Well, I'm glad you're doing that, Dan. Thank you. I really, really appreciate that. And in the studio, Aaron and
Mike.
How come I can't remember that name? Speaking of Attack of the Killer Asparagus, I see you have a copy of it right there.
Yes, we do.
And what are you planning to do with that?
Give it to my master gardener sister-in-law in Colorado.
And you wanted me to sign it?
I do.
Well, as soon as we get off the air in about 50 seconds here, we're going to run out into the hall, and I will sign that for you. But I wanted to bring you into the studio and thank you for buying a copy, which makes a great holiday gift, doesn't it?
Very much so.
Yeah. Do you have a copy for yourselves?
Yes. Absolutely.
Have you read it?
Parts of it.
It's in the bathroom, and parts of it are being read. Well, Aaron and Mike, I can't believe you came to the studio to do this, and I will sign it for you, and you can send it off to Colorado.
Yes.
Thank you.
Oh, appreciate that. All right. We're done. What a great way to end the show. I really appreciate it. Helen, you ready to do this? I say go green, and you guys say go home. I'm going to turn on your microphone. I say go green or...
Go home.
Go home. No. Go home.